It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning and welcome to Lightning Radio here on the Q. The Lightning is on the streets. The Lightning is in your mailboxes. And as we do every Thursday morning, it is now on the radio. This morning on Lightning Radio, we have our special guest, contributing writer to Lightning Radio, world renowned for his ever-popular Ask Matt series on weekly Hendersonville Lightning, Mr. Matt Madison. Good morning, Matt. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Glad to be here, Mark.
You always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. Always a pleasure. Hey, we'll end this series today asking you a little bit more about your Ask Matt columns, all righty? But let's, what do you say we get to work and get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning? You ready?
Yes, I am. Let's talk about the headlines.
All righty. As every week, and this week is notwithstanding, the Lightning is packed full of juicy, juicy local news. And let's start with one of the stories here on the front page, Matt, and that is Henderson County now has a brand new commissioner, right?
That's correct. We've got Daniel Andriotta. Dan beat out three nominees. His name was added to the Henderson County Commissioners by the local Republican Party Executive Committee. The Board of Commissioners acted on it, and he was sworn in last Monday. Now, Dan fills the unexpired term held by Charlie Messer. Now, that was District 2, and you might remember, of course, unfortunately, Charlie Messer died July the 10th. He was in his 20th year on the commission. His service is just totally admirable, and he'll be a missed commissioner. But Andriotta's name will come on the ballot this coming November, and he will face Brian Caskey, a Democrat, and also a Mills River town councilman.
Right. So Daniel is filling out the rest of Charlie Messer's term, and Charlie had already filed. He was going to run again for the upcoming election, correct?
At the time.
Right. So Daniel will fill out the rest of Charlie's, and then of course, like you said, his name will then be on the ballot against the Democrat Brian Caskey.
Correct. Yeah. So that'll be something to watch, see how that turns out.
Yeah, and there's some decisions that are going to have to be made over the next few months, over the rest of this term. So it'll be interesting, for instance, the asphalt plant in East Flat Rock and some things like that. It'll be interesting to see where Daniel Andriotta stands on some of those things, you know, before election time.
That's right. He'll have to form some opinions in a short period of time.
And you mentioned this.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, and you mentioned this. It was the it's the local Republican Party Executive Committee that makes that decision and puts that before the commissioners, right?
That's right, Mark. That's by state law. So there was no essentially no wiggle room there for the commissioners to offer up.
All right, you were breaking up on me there just a little bit. All right, so Daniel Andriotta is now, he's taken the oath. He is now our new county commissioner, again, filling in the rest of Charlie Messer's term, who, of course, we lost tragically just recently passed away. And again, Charlie he served so many years on the county commission. So, again, we say thank you to Charlie for his community service for so many years. Let's stay on politics. Do what?
Almost 20 years.
Almost 20 years, yeah. So let's stay on politics, and let's talk about Chuck McGrady. Very, very seldom does a Lightning Thursday go by where we don't have something to talk about with Chuck McGrady. Chuck McGrady is now, of course, he was not going to run again for his seat in North Carolina state government, but now he's resigned because he has a new job. Tell us about that, Matt.
Well, I don't think he's quite resigned yet because he wants to fulfill his obligation, but he will terminate his term before terminate his seat before the term ends.
Okay.
We'll be taking a position on the North Carolina Board of Transportation. He'll be among 20 members. You may remember years ago that was a very political position. A lot's changed. The board has expanded, and Chuck was once on a Board of Transportation in Georgia. So he is not unfamiliar with the way things run. He's got a lot of political savvy. He knows he's a watchdog when it comes to the budget. And he's and as you probably have read, the Board of Transportation is over budget. So hopefully he'll be one that can help fix that situation.
Well, again, when you talk community service, you know, we were just talking about that regarding Charlie Messer. Anytime you talk community service, Chuck McGrady's name has to go into the conversation.
Chuck is going to be the first board member since Kermit Edney was the first local Henderson County resident to sit on the Board of Transportation since Kermit Edney. Back in the 1990s when Jim Martin was the governor.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because I was going to say what a feather in the cap for us here locally, Henderson County in Western North Carolina, to have one of our very own on that Department of Transportation board.
Absolutely. So yeah, and by the way, if you pick up a copy of the Lightning, you'll see that Chuck is sporting a beard now.
Yes, I did notice that. If I recall, last week in Lightning Radio, Bill mentioned the fact that Chuck has been out hiking and being very active and getting himself quite healthy. So yeah, it's good. It's good to see the new look of Chuck. So how long are we expecting him to retain his seat that he has now, and when will he begin his service on the DOT board? Do we know that yet, Matt?
I think that all has to do with the progress at the General Assembly right now. So.
Okay.
We're not sure, but he will leave, and there will be an appointment to fill out his seat, which is the 117th House District seat. So he will leave before the end of the term.
Well, I tell you, it's sort of like the final Godfather movie. You know, you try to get out of government, and they keep bringing you right back in. But again, thank goodness that Chuck McGrady is going to keep his hands, in what's going on statewide. We're glad of that. So let's move on to another story here, and we've touched on this last week with Bill for Lightning Radio, and that is Pardee Hospital Foundation has brought in a brand new executive director. Talk to us about that, Matt.
Well, Miles Fish will replace Kimberly Hinkleman as the executive director. Kim was director for 8 years. She did an absolutely fantastic job, but
yeah.
Retired last December. And so Miles Fish will take over His background he's got like 30-year background in the business. He was the director of stewardship for First Presbyterian Church in Greensboro. So he'll start this month.
I'm sorry, what was that? He'll start when?
Month.
This month. Okay. All right. Miles Fish, of course, taking over and going to be heading Pardee fundraising. It'll be good to get to know him and see what kind of difference he can make here in our community as well. And I'm so glad you mentioned Kim Hinkleman and her 8 years of fantastic service with Pardee Hospital Foundation and the great work that she did over those years. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Folks, we want to remind you it's Lightning Radio, and you are listening to it here on the Q. The Lightning is on the streets. It's in your mailboxes today, and it's on the radio. And we have our special guest, Mr. Matt Madison, contributing writer to Hendersonville Lightning, joining us today. Matt, we'll be right back with more Lightning Radio here on your community radio station, WTZQ.
Lewis Williams & Sons is the area's largest distributor of mobile home supplies. Whether you need doors, windows, plumbing, or skirting, Lewis Williams & Sons has anything you need for your mobile home. Visit Lewis Williams & Sons in sunny and friendly East Flat Rock at 300 West King Street, just down the street from Case & Builder Supply. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 till noon. Lewis Williams & Sons, 692-8216, or online at lewiswilliams.com.
And we are back with Lightning Radio with Matt Madison, contributing writer to Hendersonville Lightning, in filling in for Bill Moss as Bill Moss is out of town. Good morning. Great to have you back here again, Matt. Matt, let's we touched on some of the shorter, smaller stories that are in this week's Lightning, but the real lead story and really sort of the theme through most of the Lightning, and I'm glad the Lightning is covering this story because, Matt, as you know, we've all, over the last number of months, been figuring out ways to continue and stay in business and do as well as we can during these crazy times. And Bill got a story. Well, actually, it's not Bill's story. It's your story, Matt, about food, hospitality, and entertainment business finding ways to survive the virus. Talk to us about this story, Matt.
Mark, we looked at the dining industry. We looked at breweries, lodging, outdoor recreation, and entertainment. And we wrote little stories, little pieces about all of those and how the owners and managers survived and are still surviving.
Can you tell us a little bit about a couple of those businesses that you feature?
Well, we start with Hot Dog World. That's the most interesting because what Steve Casadoras and his business partner, Tomasi Tsakalos, they had to make a call. And so they were kind of already configured as an old-timey 1950s drive-in restaurant. And so they basically went back to that style. Instead of having folks come into the restaurant, which they couldn't, they went out and served them like car hops. And you would toot your horn, and they'd come out there and take your order. And then they'd go back and work it in the kitchen, bring it back out to you. So it was a great little idea.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had one of their employees that tested positive, and they closed for 2 weeks. Then they're back open today. So that's a success story.
That is a huge success story, and I'm glad you started out with them also because, boy, I mean, over the last few months, you drive by Hot Dog World, and the parking lot's been packed full. So they've continued to do what certainly looks like a really booming business with this changed format.
Yes. Some of the restaurants, one example is Costa's Kitchen up in Fletcher. Now, they've been up there for 39 years, and immediately after the pandemic hit in the spring, they made the decision to expand outside, and so they built a deck, put some nice tables out there with red umbrellas, and so, you know, if we can't get them inside, you know, we'll serve them outside, and so they've been doing that as a way to survive.
And tell us about some of the other businesses, because it's not just restaurants that you feature here in this story also. It's other businesses as well, right?
We looked at breweries, but Sierra Nevada never reopened. They were just too close to the brewery for their restaurant and tap room to open.
Yeah.
So that was unfortunate for them. But Dry Falls down in Busy Bend, they're open and doing good business. So and they've got a food truck and everything. So they never close. And the other thing that we found very interesting, Mark, was that the ABC stores. Now, there are five ABC stores operated by three different towns, Hendersonville, Fletcher, and Laurel Park. And sales are up. And, of course, we think, well, okay, well, that does make sense. But the thing that's more remarkable is that the sales were down for mixed beverages, which is sales to restaurants and bars. But despite that fact that those numbers were down, all the totals were up. And so some even over 25%. So that, for some of those ABC stores. So very interesting. The other thing that we learned was that people are buying in larger quantities. So they're not buying fists or pints, they're buying half gallons. So that may not surprising, but we did learn that.
Well, it was also interesting a few when this all started, too. I remember the ABC stores offering to purchase back some of the alcohol that many of the restaurants and bars had purchased, knowing that they were closed, which was a huge help, I'm sure.
Yes. So we also looked at some lodging, the Waverly Inn, for example.
Yeah.
They closed for the whole month of April, reopened in May, and then their business is starting to pick back up, according to Mike Burnett, who with his wife purchased the Waverly about 4 years ago. The Mount Inn and Suites, we looked at their operation. They said, we're not going to let anyone go. We're going to keep them working. We're going to find things for them to do. They never had to lay off or furlough anyone. They just seem to have weathered the storm, and things are picking up. One thing we looked at is one of the RV parks, Rutledge Lake RV Park up in Fletcher, not so far from the very busy airport road. Their business was down 85% in April, Mark, but wow. They're back and almost back to normal. So they say, well, you know, it's easy to social distance in an RV park.
I can vouch for that. Paige and I can vouch for that one, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned, some of the hotels and so forth, because one of the things I did see with the story with Mike Burnett is that he said in July, every single weekend at the Waverly Inn was booked up, every weekend in July. And I think he mentioned in the story here, too, that, that people tend to... a lot of folks tend to trust some of the smaller beds and breakfasts right now regarding what may happen rather than some of the larger chains.
Exactly. Yeah. They're calling ahead and asking very specific questions about their safety protocols.
So, Matt, something else that's in this story also, you covered a number of things, and you got a picture here of Camp Tocoa, and the headline says, Some Camps Soldier On. I know camps have been hit really hard, so share with us some of that news.
Well, we count 18 summer camps that have overnight camping. There are, of course, more that have just day camps, and half of those decided to close. And this was a tough call, Mark, because...
Yeah.
They had to talk to the American Camp Association, the CDC, and the North Carolina Department of Health before they could figure out whether they could open or not.
Mm.
And many of them that opened had to reduce their numbers or change their schedules or just say, okay, we're just going to have family camping. We're not going to have the kids, the ones that did, kids are wearing masks and they're trying to, soldier on. It's a tough call.
Yeah.
One thing was kind of surprising. A lot of the camps make money to try to balance their budgets, by having weddings in the spring and the fall. That's pretty much gone now.
Mm.
That's one of the things that they can't count on.
Wow.
And who can?
And that's something we, John Q. Public, we never even think about that. We never even think about that revenue loss.
But the camps are, they're going to come back.
Yeah.
And they'll come back strong because kids, just need to get out. And, we were talking to some of the other hotels and they said, we've lost the camp business. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, what people don't realize is that when folks come from Florida or New York and they come drop their kids off at camp, they'll spend a couple of more days, wrap it around the weekend and eat in our restaurants and enjoy, our downtown and play some golf. That's gone. And that's another loss. It's a kind of unintended consequence.
Yeah, and it's part of that economic impact that these 18 or so camps really make here in Henderson County. You're absolutely right. Of course, part of this story also is talking about the fact that Garden Jubilee was very different than it ever has been this year, and many of those nurseries and garden centers loved ultimately what happened. They ended up with a great weekend over Garden Jubilee, and from what I understand, many of our hotels and bed and breakfasts were booked up solidly for that weekend. So that was good news.
Well, no, Mark, with your connections with the Travel and Tourism Development Authority, Garden Jubilee kind of, you know, worked out very well. They kind of expanded it a day and shopped it out to 15 nurseries that even included orchards. So that was kind of a success story made out of an unenviable situation. So, yeah. And we also, one of the things that we did was we had the 4th of July. A lot of communities said, no, we're not going to do that. And Beth Carton was telling me that, yeah, they said, we'll do it, and we'll do it for the community. And so we were one of the few that did.
Right. Still had the fireworks show, but didn't have the big concert and all that downtown, and just let everybody just, here's where the fireworks are going to be. You know, find yourself a socially distanced place to see it. And Paige and I drove around and couldn't believe the number of people out in parking lots and everything, sitting in their cars or sitting on, you know, in truck beds and whatever, watching the fireworks. So, you know, speaking of Garden Jubilee and what happened, we now have that exact same thing coming up towards the end of this month and the beginning of September with Apple Festival. The Apple Festival will not be the traditional Apple Festival as we know it. It's going to look something a little bit more like this Garden Jubilee weekend we just had.
Yes, it'll be farmed out to smaller venues and nonprofits, and that where, you know, folks can go and social distance a lot better than they can on Main Street.
Yep, absolutely. So there's still so much more to that story and more stories also in this week's Lightning. So be sure to pick up your copy, folks, and be in the know about what's happening in our local community. Matt, with our last few minutes, since I've got you here, I really want to talk about it, if it's okay, if we talk just a little bit about your very popular column called Ask Matt in the Hendersonville Lightning. Tell us about how that concept came about.
Well, that's over 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember. I pitched the idea to somebody else and wasn't successful. And then Bill Moss said, well, let's give it a roll. So we did. And so I just, you know, get questions from people like your listeners. And sometimes I can answer them. And I try to shy away from too much of this political.
Yeah.
And I don't often do dogs and religion, but anything else is pretty much fair game.
Well, and it's great fun. Of course, people find something and they're like, "I want to know about this." So let's ask Matt. So, can you tell us one or two of your favorite Ask Matt additions that you found out maybe something you didn't even know?
Stink bugs were real popular. Mopeds, drones. You know, the list goes on. So we're always looking for new, you know, it's usually, you know, the questions that I get, Mark, are, what are they putting in this building?
Right.
So I'm working on one right now, which hopefully will be run soon. It's about the Rite Aid building on Highway 25 North that has been vacant for a couple of years, and now it will have a new occupant. And that's a kind of a story that's mushroomed, but stay tuned on that one.
So let me ask you, Matt, while I got you. Well, first of all, I was surprised. I did not expect the first story for you to tell us about that was the most interesting, was about stink bugs. But thank you for sharing that. But for folks who are out there listening who may have a question about something and they want to ask Matt, how does one do that? How does one get a question to you?
Just send by email, askmattm@gmail.com. And I'll read it. And if I don't respond to it personally, I'll run it as a column.
Fantastic. AskMattM@gmail.com.
Got it.
Matt, I have enjoyed having you as our special guest here on Hendersonville Lightning on Lightning Radio. Thank you for filling in for Bill while he was away. Let's do it again sometime, okay?
My pleasure.
All right. And remember, folks, if you've got a question to ask Matt, he'll get the answer. You can email him, askmattm@gmail.com. Lightning Radio, we do it every Thursday right here on your community radio station, WTZQ. Make sure you pick up your copy of the Hendersonville Lightning and get to know what's going on in your community.